The title of this message is, We Bring Good Things to Life. Now, can somebody blurt out, who was the company that made that their slogan? That was their marketing slogan? Well, man, y'all are right on target today. Yes, GE. I was sitting in the kitchen the other day, and I don't even know how long ago it was that they even used that slogan, but we had like a little, I don't even know what it was, sitting on the counter there. I don't even know what it was, honey, but it's one of our, I don't know, slicer or something that's electronic. And it said, GE, you know, we bring good things to life. And I was like, that is a really good sermon. So what I want to do today, I'm going to do something that I've done this once in the past, but I'm going to do something a little different compared to the way I did it last time. I want you to be thinking about something good that you have done for somebody else. Now, don't get religious on me, because you know how, you know, the Bible says, you know, don't be boastful about all the good things you've done. Okay, so we're not going to do it with that heart. If you walk around talking about it all the time, then that's on you, not me. But in church today, it's going to be an opportunity to edify the listener. Now, in the past, I've done good things that have happened to you. Today, I want you to be thinking about something good that you have done for someone else. Okay? And I'll get to that here in just a second. Now, you don't name names, and you don't name dollar amounts. If you want to say thousands or hundreds, that's fine, but don't say I gave an exact amount, you know, to so-and-so in here. Bill, he was needing his rent paid the other day. You know, not like that. But don't be proud. And if we have a little bit of time, we can do good things. I do this in class a lot with my kids. I'll ask, you know, good things. They love to do good things. They're like, oh, you know, we got a basketball game this week. Oh, we got a, you know, the other day I went to the mall, or, you know, I went to see my friends. We went to a movie or whatever. They won a soccer game, or they won a basketball game, or, hey, we won district the other day. We're 12-0 or whatever. So be thinking about that. But I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to come back to that right there. So be thinking about it. I'm going to read from the Passion. I really love the Passion translation too. Now, we here at the church, we are really focused on King James, but sometimes I like, you know, we have the Amplified version too, but sometimes I like to read out of the Passion translation, because it's just like the Amplified. It really breaks things down, throws in a few new words to help break it down for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, and now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus, and he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach him, to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and free access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him, for our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presented to God inside and out. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us. Got to get a hold of that. Remember the hope that is in you. In these end times that we live in right now, remember the hope that is in you. If you want to bring good things to life, you have to remember the hope that is in you. Knowing that God always keeps his promises. Now watch this. Discover creative ways to encourage others. Now if you read the Amplified version, it says, and let us consider thoughtfully. Okay, I want you to remember the word thoughtfully. How we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, which will bring in what we're going to do here in just a second. Remember, thinking about things that you've done good for somebody. So 24, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion. Remember, doing good things for others. Doing beautiful works as expressions of love, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing. You see a lot of that happening right now in these end times. After COVID, man, during COVID, I don't know if y'all were here. How many of y'all were here during COVID? Or I should say it like this. How many of y'all had never been to church here before, but when COVID started and we were doing services on horseback, how many of y'all were here that came first? Okay, a few of y'all. Good. So when COVID happened, they told us we couldn't be in the same place, couldn't have more than, 5-10 people in the church at the same time. So Corey got on horseback. We had a trailer out there, and they did the band was on the trailer, and then Corey, preached on horseback. But since that time, I've heard lots of ministers on TV say this, that a lot of people have quit coming to church because of that. So now they're listening through the internet. Internet's a great thing, don't get me wrong. Internet's wonderful. But if you have an opportunity to come, God set it up so that you could be in the presence of other people, not at home in your pajamas. Amen? Which is all good. If you can't make it that day or you don't feel good, that's fine. Stay home, watch it on the internet, whatever. He said we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. So now, with that being said, I'm going to hold the mic, and if you've done something good for somebody, I want you to raise your hand, and remember, give me the short version, not, hey, and then when Bill went to get a hamburger, and he came back, and he took the onions off the hamburger, and no, don't give me that version. Give me the shortened version, okay, of something great that you have done for somebody. Is this on, AJ, the red one?
I paid a lady's grocery bill that was in front of me because she forgot her purse.
How many of y'all have done that? Yes. Isn't it nice? And then what did they say? Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Isn't that what they said? No, you don't have to do that. I'll go, Did she respond that way?
She was so grateful.
She was grateful. There's not many
checker,
good.
And the checker was in tears, too.
Oh, that's good. And the checker was in tears?
And the checker was in tears, too, and said, praise God.
You see, you have to learn, this is part of the giving thing, you have to learn to be a good giver, but you also have to learn how to receive. So that's part of that. So, yes.
Well, this is a couple's thing. We invited someone into our home for a month who needed a place while their place wasn't ready yet.
Good. So that creates fellowship. That creates friends for life, helping people out that way. Yep. Anybody else? Yep. Keep it.
We raised two grandsons.
You raised two grandsons. Wow.
That got saved.
Guys, that's a tough one. I mean, you could preach a whole sermon on stuff like that. And the giving and having to give up, you raise kids and you got to raise them again. It's tough, I know. Yep. All right. I'm going to hustle. Here we go.
We opened our home up to people that were in need of a home.
In need of a home?
Yeah.
Good. So, good.
I did the same. My friend bought a home in Iowa to move away, her and her husband.
Yep.
And they sold their home. And before they could get moved, he went to the hospital. He's been there for 3 months. So she lives with me for an undetermined length of time. And I did send roses and flowers to Doris for Mother's Day.
Yes.
She's at the Oaks in Bertram.
Oh, man. Yes. The Oaks in Bertram. If you don't know who Doris is, man, she was the one that always called everybody, the visitors. And if you ever get to know Doris, you'll have a friend for life. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. Anybody else? Good? Right here, Bessie. I'll come right to you next.
We just try to make a practice of every Sunday when we go eat breakfast to pick up somebody else's tab in the restaurant.
Exactly. A habit of giving. A habit of giving. All the time.
This is kind of like a repeat because I pay for policemen's lunches.
Exactly. I love doing that. Woo, that's fun stuff. And you walk out of there and not brag about it and just pay it off and walk out the door. Was that you?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Prayer. That's what I do. I don't have a lot to give, so prayer is what I do.
Good. So prayer, yeah. Guys, let me tell you something. Prayer time is one of the hardest things to do, especially when you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for others. And it takes time and it takes energy to pull that off because you're praying for other people.
Each month we give a substantial amount to Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels. That's been around for a long time, yeah.
While on vacation, the clerk that was checking me in, glasses fell off. And when I got in the room, God told me to go give this guy enough money to buy his glasses. So I went back, and he didn't want to take it. I told him he had to because God told me to do it, and if he didn't take it, I would be punished. So he took it.
Take this or else I'm going to kill you. I'm not going to be punished. You'll die before I die.
Howdy. I believe giving is a learned behavior, and we teach our children
exactly
those things. And
yep.
When I had a company years ago, we used to hire, you know, women that needed jobs and stuff. Uh-huh. And I used to take my boys and load them up on the truck, and they'd grab at me because we'd go to the grocery store mm-hmm. and get these bags of groceries.
Exactly.
And we'd deliver them to some of our employees that didn't have enough. Well, when we were taking them to college, one day we were dropping both boys off, and we were at the grocery store loading them up for their apartment. My oldest boy walked around the counter and went all the way down a few aisles, and he noticed a veteran with just a few groceries. Mm-hmm. And he waited for him to get to the counter, and he pulled out his cash card and paid for his groceries. So it's a learned behavior.
Exactly.
He didn't have to be told. He did it on his own initiative.
Exactly. If you make giving a habit, the ones that are you're over and in charge of, they'll learn the same habit.
When we first moved here, my health kind of changed, mm-hmm. and I had to rely on other people mm-hmm. to drive me around because mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed to drive.
Yeah.
Well, now I work for an elderly lady, mm-hmm. and I drive her all around.
There you go.
I don't make her pay for gas. I don't do anything.
Exactly, and gas is not cheap right now.
So.
That's amazing. Guys, oh, that's cool. Yep.
About 3 weeks ago, I lost a really close family friend, and I spent a week in California helping his wife plan the funeral and taking time away from my family so that yep. I could bless her family.
Yep.
And I had a group of friends who put together about several hundred dollars of money in
good.
Uber Eats so that I could help Carlo with food while I was gone.
Yep.
And we both decided we should just bless that family, and exactly. we gave that family the money just so that they could have food while
yep.
we were there just planning the service and stuff.
Very good. Very good.
During the tornado, we had our best friends lose everything, their home.
Is this the one in Salado?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and also Granny that lived behind them, she lost her house. So God allowed us to be able to help move them in, and actually there was a leased house next door to me that we got them moved in, and everybody pitched in, and so it's been a real adventure. But
man, that's great. So helping people, man, ain't nothing more awesome than having a safe home to be in, you know.
There's lots of things, but this week there was an elderly woman, kind of heavy set, was leaving the restaurant, noticed her shoe was untied. She sat down, and you could just tell it was going to be a challenge, so mm-hmm. I just dropped down and tied her shoe, and she brought a tear to her eye, and she goes, "There's still good people."
Exactly.
I mean, it's simple, but you got to listen, because God's going to prompt you everywhere.
Why didn't you take it a step farther and wash her feet and then tie her shoe? That's what Jesus would have. No, I'm kidding.
You're right.
I'm kidding. Yeah, he's just going to wash one foot. Tie one shoe. All right, see ya. I'm kidding.
We got a great neighborhood in Round Rock, and we all help each other. We've all watched out for each other. And so last week, we took some tree limbs down that was getting on people's houses and mm-hmm. helped out with the yards, stuff mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. It's just blessed to have neighbors like that. That mm-hmm. everybody takes that care of each other. And raising the kids, like they mentioned, raising the kids to see that and learn by that.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly. Make them get out there too, right?
Yep.
Put them to work. You want to talk? You want to wait? Okay. It's a good thing? Okay. Let me come right here just right quick. I might have to close it after this one. Go ahead.
A week ago Saturday night, our son, who's a minister and he's a professor at Bland, he's a minister in the church, a couple of churches over there. He was at a birthday party for one of the church members. His heart stopped. The Lord placed this pretty well, because in where he was at, there was a cardiologist, an MD, mm-hmm. and an EMT. They started mouth-to-mouth and CPR. He had no heartbeat for 15 to 20 minutes. They finally got him to the hospital, used a defibrillator on him, got him revived. He's great now. Tuesday morning, they were running tests and everything. His pastor came in and said, do you remember a prophecy that was spoke over you in the fall? Of course, he's foggy from anesthesia, and he said, no, I don't remember. The pastor said, a lady in our church spoke a prophecy on you that the enemy was going to try to take you out in a very dramatic and public way, but God was going to turn it into a blessing, and it would be preceded by thunder and lightning. Right before he passed out, they were having the party outside. It was thunder and lightning. They thought they were going to have to move the party inside, but they didn't. And so he is well now. God has totally healed him, but it is a blessing. Thank you for God's miracles.
Hallelujah. All right, I got to get the, got to get up here now. So, going back to Hebrews, discovering creative ways. Now, if you're new here, you know, hearing of things that happen to good, you know, good things that happen to people, or hearing of things where people do good things for people might be rare to you. But when you make, and there was a lot of hands I know I probably didn't get to, a lot of people wanting to talk, but when you make giving a lifestyle, it edifies the listener. How do you think, I mean, think about it. When Jesus started performing miracles, people came running. They didn't perform, I mean, they didn't come running just because his name was Jesus. They came running because of all the good things that were happening. When he was performing miracles, people started showing up. And when you make giving a lifestyle, good things come to life. And when good things start coming to life, good things start happening to you and all the people around you. Remember, I forgot who it was, Paul or one of the, in the Bible where he talked about even his shadow, I don't know if it's Peter or Paul, even his shadow was healing people. Now, when your shadow starts healing people, you call me, okay? You call us, we'll have a church service at your house. I don't care if there are deed restrictions. I'm pretty sure everybody that has anything to do with deed restrictions will want to come too. Amen? So, with all that being said, Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to be in Philippians 4 and then back to Matthew 5, and then we'll, that's the only place you'll have to find. So Philippians 4, if you want to find that. Philippians 4:8, you've heard this scripture many a times, I'm sure. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I've been reading a book by a minister, and he's got all these quotes and stuff, and I want to read you a few. Stroll through them right quick. And these are just some fun little things I love to do. I like to throw some of these in there just to get you to think. Because these are really, really powerful statements. I mean, this is like one sentence, two sentences. It might change your whole life. Okay? Number one, talking about thinking and how thinking can bring good things to life. Thinking on right things. Okay? Number one, great thoughts die in wrong places. Environment determines what grows or dies. Great thoughts die in wrong places. Next one. Watch this. I bet some of y'all have done this. I've done this. Injustice happens once, but your mind can make it happen 5,000 times more. It only happens to you one time. But in your mind, you're not thinking on the good things, the good report, the things that are true, the things that are lovely, the things that are honest and pure and virtuous. One injustice can make you meditate on it 5,000 times. Next one. Make tomorrow so huge that yesterday is ashamed to discuss itself. See, when you start thinking on right things, good things start happening. When you have a future, the past don't even matter. You don't even care about the past anymore. You're like, yeah, I know I failed. Guys, you know, everybody fails, okay? Just accept the fact that you're going to fail sometimes. As I heard a preacher say this one time, we're always doing something stupid. It's just a matter of figuring it out. And as soon as you figure it out, you can fix it. But there's just times when you're doing things stupid and you may not even know about it. You may not even know. Okay, next one. I just want to show you a few of these. These are so cool. Some thoughts should remain unspoken until those worthy of them show up. You ever told the wrong thing or the right thing to the wrong person? You know what that makes? The right thought to the wrong person creates wrong things. All the time. You cannot discuss your victories in Jesus with an atheist. Now, if you can get into discussion with them and they're asking you for help and they want to discuss with you, then yeah. But you can't just be throwing it out there, because you can't cast your what Jesus said, you cannot cast your pearls before what? Swine. They don't care about the pearls. You think pig cares about the pearls? No, all they care about is the slop you're putting in the feed bucket. That's it. Next one. The mind always finds whatever it is looking for, always. A reason to quit or a reason to finish. If you're looking for a reason to quit, you're going to find it. Like a bull rider, you know, they always say, you know, quit looking at the ground, quit looking for a place to get off, because if you're looking for a place to get off, you're probably getting off, right? And you forfeit your entry fee. Oh, this is a good one. The mind without a future becomes homesick for the past. Right thoughts create good things. Two more. Oh, this is so good. Thinkers, the non-thinker's greatest stress. You ever been in, okay, think about it. Thinkers. He's talking about thinkers. A thinker is a non-thinker's greatest stress. You know why? Because they're always getting promoted. At your job, you're always thinking of creative ideas, and the non-thinker is sitting over there thinking, he's making me look really bad. If you are a thinker, get ready for persecution. Okay? Oh, this is good. Your mind is an ocean. Your mouth is an aquarium. Never get them confused. I've met a lot of people whose mind was the aquarium and they thought their mouth was the ocean. Do not confuse those. And I heard this statement the other day. It was on K-Love. He said, you've heard the old statement, you have two ears and one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. Also, your mouth can be closed. Your ears cannot. The only way you can close your ears was with another body part helping you. Your mouth comes with a closer. Use it. Just thought I'd throw a few of those out there. So those are fun. Matthew chapter 5. These are the Beatitudes, talking about bringing good things to life. So we've talked about good things that have happened to other people because of you. We've talked about thoughts making good things happen in Philippians 4 and how you should learn how to think. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. I'm going to read the Amplified Version. I want to go through a list of all the Beatitudes here, and I want to show you different characteristics that will bring good things to life. Verse 3. This is after Jesus, of course, sat down. You know, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He sat down and he said, you know what? There's a lot of people here that need to hear something good. Now, all these Beatitudes, he could have been talking to one person, but he could have been talking to all the people there. But you need to remember that all of them apply to you. All of them. Verse 3, Blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy to be admired are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual ignorance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, remember, the Bible talks about the last being first and the first being last. Let me tell you something. You have got to think of, you've got to learn to mentally think of yourself as this, but you need to operate like this. Okay, the last, the Bible says, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. God will use your weakness to show His strength. Y'all know my testimony. I made a C in public speaking in college. And I think a C was pretty generous. Very generous. He probably felt sorry for me. My first speech up there, terrible, terrible. You know, at the end, you know, after you get through doing the speech and everything, he said, all right, does anybody have any questions? Well, guess what? Like 50 hands go up. Because I answered none of the questions. I didn't have a three-point message that said this, this, and this, and then had a conclusion and an intro and all that. It was terrible. I got better as I went, but if you'd have told me I was going to be a preacher, God will use your weakness. I'm telling you, think about your life, about when God has used something you weren't good at, and He showed off and used you when you were terrible at something. And He showed off his awesomeness, His grace, His mercy, His awesomeness that He can do through you when you thought you couldn't do it. Especially that giving part. I mean, that's a weakness for a lot of people, especially baby Christians. They don't understand giving. You can't expect them to understand giving. Why? Because they're babies. They're babies in the Word. So remember that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. You have to think of yourself here, but operate up here. Because when you know who you are in Christ, you'll wash somebody's feet and tie somebody's shoe. And on the flip side, when you walk out the door, God says, now that was cool. I'm going to find somebody to bless you this week. God goes to work. He starts finding ways to bless you. Verse 4. Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted. Not enough people these days are mourning their sin. And when I say mourning your sin, I'm not talking about going into a closet and crying for days. I'm talking about truly being remorseful for what you did instead of saying, oh yeah, you know, I messed up, you know, that's no big deal, you know, because everybody else is doing it, it's no big deal. Let me tell you something, God knows your heart and He knows how sorry you are for what you did. And I've read it this way, many ministers say that as soon as you mess up and you know you messed up, the faster you get to God and ask for forgiveness will start. When you do that, when you work quickly and are diligent in asking God for forgiveness, God starts working on your behalf and starts, you know, working on the grace factor and starts finding a way. Okay, that's all right, son. Just don't mess up. Thank God our God is forgiving. Thank God our God cares and actually says, you know what, son, it's okay. I'm not going to send Jesus to the cross anymore. He already did it. You can sin a million times. I'm going to forgive you a million times. Thank God, amen, that He's forgiven us. And not just once. Not just twice, but how, you know, fill in the blank. Not enough people these days. You're seeing in these end times the scarcity of people that are not remorseful for the things they've done wrong. And some of them don't even think they're doing wrong. Some of them think it's okay to kill babies. And, you know, they've got, you know, if you looked on the news this morning, you saw that there were people out there in front of Catholic churches, because Catholic churches get the bad rap because they're always the ones that, you know, they're always talking about those kind of things. But you got these protesters standing at these Catholic churches protesting their stance on Roe v. Wade. They're at the conservative justices. Y'all heard about this? They're at the conservative justices' house. Somebody gave them their address. Man, them fighting words in Texas, I'm telling you. Not enough people are remorseful. Did you see the article? I saw an article the other day. There's a lady, some liberal was saying things like, well, you know, if they overturn Roe v. Wade, it's going to ruin the hookup culture. Oh, so sorry. Oh, them one-nighters, sorry about that. Gosh, you know. How about let's do the right thing? Come on now. Oh, the hookup crowd, you know, on TikTok or whatever, you know, Facebook or whatever, or Snapchat, they're not going to be able to hook up, you know? Ah, that's okay. Let's take care of the, you know, all the one-nighters and the hookup people so we can keep killing babies, you know? They said in Europe, there was a doctor who said the other day that in Europe, they said the day after pill or whatever it is. It's another way to abort. They said it has skyrocketed for the United States. They said they are sending tons of them over here because of people that are scared Roe v. Wade's going to get overturned. Oh, so sorry. Too bad. We're going to do the right thing here. Amen? We're going to do the right thing. And if they're not going to do the right thing at the Washington, D.C. level, we're going to do the right thing here in Liberty Hill, Texas. Amen? We're going to preach the right thing, and we're going to do the right thing. We're going to stand for the right thing. Because guess what, guys? We're all in it together. We're all here together. I'm sure all of you own guns, right? I'm kidding. They ain't coming on this property. I can see. It's amazing. You know, all you guys got scopes. You know, you can see them, you know. And they don't have, you don't have to wait till they get to the front porch. Everybody got scopes and rifles. If you're listening through the internet, you know, don't worry. But don't come to my house. I will kill you. I'll hurt you bad. No. Okay. No. First thing we're told to do is love them. They don't know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." Those people do not know what they're doing. They are spiritually lost. And until they hear the truth and get set free from it, they're going to be lost. Verse 5. This is a good one. Blessed, inwardly, peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. My friends, if you find someone like this, make them your best friend. There is always good things happening to people who have a sweet spirit. And I'm talking sweet as in, yes, sir. You ever met these people? Don't ever think they're weak. I'm sure, you know, they might be, you know, sweet-spirited. That doesn't mean they can't throw down, right? So sweet-spirited people are always, yes, sir, no, sir. And you can just see a spirit of giving. You can see a spirit of sweetness and honor on their tongue and on their disposition. Make being kind-hearted and sweet-spirited a habit. You'd be surprised how many people will just love. They'll find you. They can't resist themselves. They won't be able to sleep at night until they give you something because you're so sweet-spirited. When you become like that, you're expressing God's character, and God finds a way to bring blessings to those people. Verse 6. Oh, this is a good one. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness or just hot dogs and Dr. Pepper? Okay? You better take control of your spirit, man, and think to yourself, I am hungering for righteousness. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Bible says you will be filled. You should make it a daily habit of walking in righteousness. And if you see yourself messing up, or if you see yourself getting in a conversation with somebody who got a mind like an aquarium and a mouth like an ocean, be ready to put out the fire. Be ready to do this. You know, see ya, you know. You got to learn how to walk away because it's not easy, and you don't want to, you know, I'm not telling you to be rude, but sometimes you've got to let those conversations die by not responding to those conversations. And if you get involved in those conversations, I'll get to it here, I'm preaching ahead of myself, but don't get involved in those conversations. It'll ruin you. Even though you didn't start the conversation, it can still get on you. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 7. Blessed, content, and sheltered by God's promises are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. I've done this a lot lately with a lot of people. I remember when I was stupid and made wrong decisions. But when other people come to you and start talking about somebody else's stupidity and all the bad decisions they've made, then they have forgotten to be merciful. When you hear of things that people do wrong, and even if they're working around you or their, you know, family, I don't know. You have got to remember when you made bad decisions. And when you immediately remember when you were wrong, you won't be so hard on the people that they're talking about to you. Walking in mercy, got to be a daily habit. You want to bring good things to life, you better learn how to walk in mercy. And when somebody brings a conversation to you and says, you know, old Bill over there in sales, You know, he did this, this, and this. You know, he should have done this, this, and this. First thing you should think is, yeah, I remember when I did that. I remember when I used to make those decisions. And then learn how to put out the fire by saying, well, you know, maybe we should go over there and talk to him and hear his side of the story. Uh-oh. Nobody's ever willing to do that, are they? Nobody's ever willing to hear that guy's side of the story. You know why? Because that causes confrontation. And nobody wants to cause, not, I don't want to cause confrontation. I don't want to be confrontational. But if it's something that's affecting you to the point where you can't sleep at night, maybe you should go talk to that person, because I can guarantee you there's some missing information. And if there's missing information, then you don't have a right to draw a conclusion. I mean, they don't do it in court cases. If there's missing evidence, missing information, they can't stand up there and say, yeah, he's guilty. Yep, he's guilty. Yeah, but there's missing information, Judge. You know, we got to have this other piece of evidence here. No, it's too late, too late. We can't do that. We're just going to call him guilty, right? You ever been drawn into the courtroom of a discussion before? Mm-hmm. Yep. Just remember when you made those mistakes. Verse 8, blessed, anticipating God's presence, spiritually mature, are the pure in heart, those with integrity, moral courage. We don't see a lot of that these days, being courageous in the moral aspect. You're talking about, you know, the hookup crowd? That's not morally courageous. That's giving in to selfish desire and fleshly lust. That's what that is. And godly character, for they will see God, he says. Make integrity a habit. I do this with my kids all the time. It's a funny story. I walked into the weight room one day, and we always tell them to run a lap before they come into the weight room. It's to get them warmed up, you know, get the blood flowing, etc. And I walk in there, and I was like, I know there's at least three of them that did not run that lap. At least three. I walk in there, and I said, all right, you done blow the whistle. You know, hey, listen up. So I'm going to give you one opportunity to tell the truth and do the right thing. If you didn't run that lap out there before you came in here, I'm going to come to you individually, because I only thought there was three. I'm going to come to you individually, and you're not running one lap, you're running five. Guess how many ran out the door? Like 25. I was like, wow. 1, 2, 3, 4. Guess what the conversation was when they got through running that one lap? Hey, guys. I could have made that a lot worse for you. You need to start walking in integrity. There's a reason why we do the things we do. We don't just tell you to run a lap for our benefit, because we ain't getting nothing out. If that was true, I'd have them run 5-10 laps. You know, if I'm going to get something out of this, you know, let's go ahead and do it to the full extent, baby. Let's do it. I said, but I do this all the time with kids. I'm always telling them, make integrity a habit. Do the right thing in the classroom. Do the right thing on the football field. Do the right thing in the weight room. Do the right thing in the locker room. Blah, 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 blah. Always think about doing the right thing. Oh, here's another one. For all you people that go to HEB or Academy and y'all take something off aisle 3 and then you're like, I don't want that anymore, and you leave it on aisle 20, have some integrity. Because guys like me walk into Academy and it says that there's one in stock. And it ain't on aisle 3 where it's supposed to be. I go over to the computer lady. Oh, yeah, it says there's one in stock. I'll go check behind the doors back here. Oh, sorry, we don't have it. I don't know where it could be. That's because somebody walked in a day before and put it on a different aisle. Because, you know what? This is what I thought of when I'm thinking about this right now. I'm here to tell you something. You got to think of HEB and Academy as your bedroom. Because if I would never walk into your room and take the perfume off of the cabinet or off of your shelf and put it under your mattress. I don't take your toothpaste and throw it in the toilet. You have to think, these are establishments. Yes, they're making a lot of money, but respect the establishment. If you put something in the basket, you either buy it or take it back to where you found it. Amen? I'll tell you how many times I've done that. My daughter tried to pull it the other day, or my son, we were in HEB, and I'm like, she's like, oh, we don't want this, let's put it right. And I'm like, no. You go find where you found it, and you go put it back. I did it the other day, you know. Like, you don't take something from here and go put it over there. Now, you either buy it or you take it back where you found it. Amen? That's just me personally, you know. I'm sure most of y'all have experienced the same thing. Oh, yeah. Walk into HEB. It's like you walk into these places these days. It's not like, you know, there's aisle 1, 2, and 3. There's like aisle 50. And it's like a visual overload. And when you walk in these stores, it's their job to get your attention and put all the fun stuff at the front and all the not so fun stuff at the back, you know. So it's a visual overload. And when you walk in there and you're looking on aisle 3 and you know that it says on the internet that they have pickles on aisle 3 and you can't find them. And you look 50 times and you bring somebody else over to help you. They go right to it and they find it. It's a visual overload. It can be stressful. Have some integrity. That's just me. I'm sorry I went on a tangent there, but that's just me. And I think some of y'all have felt the same pain, okay? So y'all remember this sermon next time you're at HEB, okay? Because someone like me is going to need to walk in there and find, you know, whatever. Make sure it's on the right shelf, okay? All right. So with that being said, verse 9, okay? Verse 9. Blessed and spiritually calm with life, joy in God's favor are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express God's character and be called the sons of God. You want to make good things happen? Be a peacemaker. Be the type that says the right words, that puts out the fire that's burning in someone's marriage. Oh, and I wrote down Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read this to you right quick. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll come back to Matthew 5. Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. I want to show you what it says here about keeping peace. He says, verse 14, Amplified, says, continually pursue peace with everyone and the sanctification without which no one will ever see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of God's grace, that no root of resentment springs up and causes trouble, and by any means be defiled. Let me tell you what happens if you're not a peacemaker. If you're one of those that like to do what they call stirring the pot, you ever heard that term? You're one of those that stirs the pot. You get on Facebook, you troll people, you stir up the pot, and you stir up the pot, and then all of a sudden, there's a lot of people defiled. Because words that you say will defile others that are not even involved in the situation. And then in turn, defile you. So that when you, if you're not going to be the peacemaker, and you're going to be one of the pot stirrers, or one of those, you know, that likes to stir up strife, you're going to create a situation that only involved two, now it involves, you know, 30 or 40, including yourself. Be the peacemaker so as not to stir up strife so that any may stumble. Because when you're stirring the pot, you're cooking up something you don't want to cook up. Amen? You're going to create situations that are not going to be beneficial for you either. Because now you're getting drawn into a conversation, and now certain things are being said that originally just started with two people, now involves you, and now you're drawn into something you didn't really want to be drawn into, but you just had to say what you wanted to say, and now that you've said it, you're in it. Be the peacemaker. Verse 10. This is where we're headed right here. This is good stuff right here. Verse 10, chapter 5, verse 10 of Matthew. Where am I here? Where is it? Here we go. Blessed, comforted by inner peace and God's love are those who are persecuted for doing that which is morally right and not killing babies. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, morally courageous. Okay, don't ever forget that term. Doing what's morally right, being morally courageous and spiritually alive with life, joy in God's goodness are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of who I am. You see that happening right now. It's happening maybe at some Catholic churches. I guess we'll see when we go home and check the news today. Maybe it's just, I don't know. And if you're a judge on the Supreme Court, God protect them. I don't care if you don't believe what I believe, you still have a right to free speech, you have a right to be protected. Even if that does involve a gun. Amen? But blessed are you who are persecuted. Verse 12, be glad and exceedingly joyful, for your reward in heaven is great. absolutely inexhaustible, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen, they already did this long before the internet ever existed. They were persecuting prophets in the Old Testament because the prophets would say the right thing and say what God was telling them to say, and then it wasn't, you know, edifying to the listener, and it made them mad because sometimes what the prophet said weren't always cotton candy and flowers, right? He said, don't worry. He said, they were persecuting them thousands of years ago, long before you ever came about. Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Don't worry about the Mother's Day thing. Don't worry about what the conversations you're going to have about the Mother's Day protesters protesting Roe v. Wade, or if you get involved in a conversation at work about it. Just stand up and say what you want to say. Stand up and say it. Just believe it and say, you know what? I hear your opinion, but I just don't believe we should be killing babies. I think it's interesting that we go out of our way to protect what they call endangered species. We will put people in jail protecting animals in some country that we don't have anything to do with, but when it comes to protecting a baby, oh, that's okay. It's okay. It should be a mother's choice. And then they get mad at the men when they say something. Well, it's like, you know, was it Chad Prather the other day? He said, you know what? As long as there's a pregnant man emoji, I have a say-so. As long as they're going to put pregnant men emojis on the iPhones, then we should have a say about babies, right? If they're going to say that, you know, men can have babies, shouldn't we get to be thrown into that discussion or in that arena? Amen. Yes, absolutely. I'll just say it for you. Yep, amen. Verse 16. This is the reason we're looking for good things coming to life. Watch this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your good works are going to edify. That's why we did it at the beginning. Your good works edifies the listener so that people will praise God. That's why people came to Jesus, because he was doing so many good things. They just kept coming. It edifies the atheists. They're like, wow, this stuff really does happen. You really can lay hands on the sick. You really can lay hands on people and watch miracles happen. Your light shining before men, your good works are going to edify the ones that see them. The person, who was the person that paid for groceries at the grocery store? Is that you? Grocery store? Okay, so somebody standing behind you probably saw that. And what do you think they're doing? Oh, man, that's fantastic. There is some good still left in this earth. Good things edify the listener and the seer. All the good things that you do is your light shining before men. You're the moon, okay? You're the moon. The moon reflects light from the sun, right? You're the moon, okay? That's a whole nother discussion. But you're the moon. You're the one that sees God's works, and you do as your Father, as you see and hear your Father do, just like Jesus. Jesus said, I only do what I hear and see my Father do. That's what you do. And remember this, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. This is Jesus talking. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so. Did you get that? If you're breaking commandments and teaching others to do so in like manner, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Who do you think he's talking to? He ain't talking to the atheist. He said in the kingdom of heaven. Atheists aren't going to heaven. Only the Christians. So who do you think he's talking to right here? The Christians. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the where? The kingdom of heaven. So let me tell you what the scripture says right here. Okay, so remember, your good works will not go unrewarded. Okay? Not everyone will be wearing the same crowns that you'll be wearing in heaven. And it talks about in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it says, do not be ashamed at his coming. Okay? Now, you can go a lot of different directions with 1 John 2:28, and not being ashamed means not being saved. You know, that people say, you know, if you read commentary on the internet, it says, like, don't be the one that never received Jesus, or you're going to be ashamed at his coming. Okay? Let me take it to another level. You will receive rewards here on earth, I mean here in heaven, for everything you did here on earth. I believe when it says, do not be ashamed at his coming, is going to mean you were one of the ones that just got saved and didn't do jack diddly squat for the kingdom of heaven. There is a promotion level, I believe, in heaven. There are promotion levels. I believe people will know you in heaven by the crowns that you wear. Do you think everybody's going to have a crown of righteousness, or everybody will have a crown of righteousness, but you may not be able to wear the crown that says, hey, I got somebody saved. There are promotion levels, I believe, in heaven. And the Bible talks about casting our crowns at Jesus' feet. Do you remember that? I believe that you will be casting the crowns that you get in heaven for everything that you did here on earth. That tells me that there are different promotion levels. And you will be known in heaven for what you did here on earth. Don't be ashamed when you get there and only have the crown of righteousness that says, yeah, you got saved, but you didn't do anything for my kingdom. He said, those who do or break the commandments and teach others to do so will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. So that tells me there's different levels. He said, but if you know them and you do them and you teach others to do them, those will be called great in the kingdom of where? Heaven. It's only us there, guys. It's only us. The atheists won't be there. Okay? The ones that didn't believe in Christ, they won't be there. So my message to you today is, in order to bring good things to life, you've got to learn how to think. You've got to learn how to be in the Beatitudes. You've got to know all the attitudes of how you're supposed to be. And you're supposed to do good things and teach others how to do good things. You want to be promoted to different levels here on earth? You start doing good things here, and God will start promoting you here. Nobody likes being broke. Nobody likes driving a junker car and living in a rundown house. Nobody. But when you do good things, God finds ways to promote you here. And when you get promoted here, good things happen. When you don't have money, you can't give money. You can't buy groceries for somebody else at the grocery store when you don't have anything. God gives you money, not to make you, you know, wonderful and all this. God uses money as a tool to bless others, to bring others into the kingdom. Her good act of kindness at the grocery store, you tying someone's shoe, I don't know if those people were atheists or not, but at least they got a little bit of good, they got to experience a little bit of goodness that day from somebody they didn't even know. I'm glad that when I did that today, there were some people I didn't get to. It's good to know that there's a lot of people in here doing good things for other people. Not just coming to church and sitting in a chair and hearing a sermon and going back home, spending 6 days at home and coming back to church and going back home and going back to church and going back, going to your job and making every day the same and just making it all look the same. No. Great things should be happening to you every day. I remember getting in a truck with Corey a long time ago. Every day I'd get in a truck with him. He'd say, I expect great things to happen to me today. I expect them. I expect to see amazing things happen. Good things that you do will start causing those things to happen. If you don't like your current situation, then make your future so darn big that the past don't even show up anymore. You don't even think about the past anymore. It don't even come into your mind. You don't even think about those things. You know why? Because you're so focused on the future that you don't even think about all the wrong things you did. Leave them there. Ask God to forgive you and leave them there. Quit going fishing for all your wrongs that you did in life. God's like, I already threw that fish in the sea of forgetfulness. Hey, that's pretty good right there, wasn't it? That's pretty. It's like fishing just all of a sudden went back into my mind there for a second. God throws those past fish, all those wrong things that you did, in the sea of forgetfulness. In the Dead Sea, where things go to die. quit fishing for them. Quit bringing them up. And if somebody tries to bring up, you know, hey, you know, we were, you know, back when we were 19, I don't remember that. Just, you know, you gotta learn how to talk. I had a conversation with a kid the other day about this. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but this kid needed it. He's one of those obnoxious ones, always wanting to be seen, always blah, 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 always this, always trying to be seen and talk, you know, so everybody can hear him. And I said, you know what, you go stand over there. I'm going to finish talking to these guys who messed up today. And as soon as I got done with talking to them, I sent them on their way. And I go over him, and I start talking to him, and I said, is there anything that you just want to talk about? See how I turned it over to him? Instead of me going over there and slapping him with the Jesus stick and slapping him with the, hey, you're going to get in trouble if you keep messing around. I just went over and said, hey, is there anything that you just want to talk about with me? Do you have a problem with authority or something? And I just left the door open. He was like, you know how they talk, you know, coach, you know, you're always, you know, when you get in my space, this is what he said, you get in my space and you come over and you confront me, man. This is how he's talking. He's waving, you know. Sometimes when you don't know what to say, you wave your hands as a distraction, you know. And that works with other kids, but with a coach, I'm just looking at him straight in the face. Like, all this other stuff is just nonsense. I said, listen to me, son. This is the second time I've talked to this kid. First time was, hey, you know, why is your clothes, your laundry on the floor there? What? You know, and he just blows up. And I'm like, have you had a bad something in the past or something that happened? I mean, like, why do you do this? So by the time we get to talking or whatever, I was like, you got to learn how to talk to people. And this goes for everybody. You got to learn how to talk in an environment. Every environment requires different conversations. You don't walk in into a grocery store and talk about the same things that you talk about behind closed doors at your house. Every environment requires a different conversation, requires a different behavior, requires different honor. You walk into this church and you start blurting stuff out and Corey's up here preaching, you're going to get thrown out. Why? Because it's out of order. So I taught this kid, I was like, you got to learn how to talk to people and learn how to honor people. So I had just a me-to-him conversation, and by the time I'm done, I was like, you need to learn how to not get in trouble and learn how to respect people when you're talking to people. You can't blurt out stuff and be arrogant like that. And the kid was perceptive. I was like, wow, this is pretty receptive. He's pretty receptive to what I was saying. And I say all that to say this. Learn to be merciful. I could have easily gone over that kid and just let him have it. Get the up down and get, you know, do the up downs. I'm going to blow you. Get to work. You know, I could have made him do push-ups, you know, all that stuff. But you handle every situation different. The people you're going to come in contact with in your jobs, you're not going to talk to them like you're going to talk to your boss. People that are on the same level as you, you don't talk to them the way you talk up. Because when people are over you, you've got to learn how to, what I like to call talking up. Yes or no, sir, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have conversations in your workplace. You're going to have conversations at home. You're going to have conversations at church. And you've got to learn how to talk to people. Don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. Be willing to tie someone's shoe. Be willing to buy someone's groceries. Make yourself the least, and God will make you the greatest. With every head bowed and every eye closed. So if you're not saved today, you walked into this church, you don't know who Jesus is, we give everybody an opportunity at the end of every service that we do, an opportunity to receive Jesus. So if you're not saved today, we're going to pray a prayer. And I believe if you pray this prayer and you mean what you say, I believe that Jesus will come into your heart and you'll be one of those that Jesus was talking about that will be in the kingdom of heaven. I urge you today to get serious with God and receive Him if you don't know Him. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We're all going to pray a prayer together. And I want you, if you don't know who Jesus is and you didn't know that you had to receive Jesus in order to go to heaven, I want you to get serious with God right now and receive Him through this prayer that we're all going to pray together with you. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior today, right now, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the very first time, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand and say, yeah, that was me. And we'll just, I'm the only one looking around. So if that was you, just raise your hand and let me know that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Is there one? Okay. One over here. All right. Anybody else? We'll wait for you. Got a little Bible there for you. So is there anybody else? All right. Look at me. Very good. All right. Good things are happening.